KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Live and local presents the On Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
And a beautiful Wednesday morning to all. Welcome to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Ron Thomas.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm great. What a great day.
A beautiful day. We've had a beautiful stretch of weather. It was a great last night.
It was awesome last night, awesome this morning.
Yeah, I had the dog out for a walk last evening and had a chat with my neighbor, Evora Wheeler, on that walk. Evora's doing good at 93 and still.
God bless her.
I know. It was always a positive thing to talk to Evora. You always feel better after conversing with her.
Next time you see her, will you ask her who she's entrusting with the recipes?
I will. In fact, she invited me to.
I feel like we should auction those off.
Because
just
right
the
now,
recipes.
She's in the midst of her Wednesday morning coffee club that she hosts.
Oh, yeah. She has quite a few over there.
And it is a cinnamon roll day today there. And she invited me. I says, well, I've got this program. So one of these mornings, you're going to have to fly solo so I can go to the coffee club.
We can figure that out. And then the next week, we'll switch back and forth, and I'll go to the coffee club.
Well, maybe, here's an idea. Maybe we can do this program live from Evora's at the coffee club.
Fantastic
idea. How about that?
We'd just take turns in between bites.
On the road, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take this show on the road.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. We'll save that
idea. Let's get this show on the road.
Let's do it.
And welcome in a couple of folks from Crosswinds. Youth and Mental Health is our conversation today. Erica Fersman, the Community-Based Services Manager. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem at all. And Molly Kinney, the Psychosocial Group Manager. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning. Excited to be here.
All right. Let's start with...
Welcome.
What is youth mental health?
Great question. So youth mental health is really, it just includes the emotional, psychological, and social well-being of the youth. And really to be able to successfully navigate the complexities of life that a youth experiences to help them develop fulfilling relationships, adapt to change, really use coping skills to manage what comes their way.
And the folks that you serve are in a certain age group?
Yeah. So at Crosswinds, we serve ages birth to, 9,900 years, however old you are. But the Children's Services Department specifically is basically birth to age 22.
I would imagine you deal with all kinds of, different kids and different problems. Are these youngsters referred to you, basically? Is that how they find Crosswinds?
Yes. A lot of times referrals will come in from schools because that's where youth are at a great majority of their time. But families who are experiencing some challenges, they can also reach out and call us for an intake and get connected to the services that might be helpful for them.
Does it take long if someone is referred to you to get them into your programs, and how does that work, Erica?
So we have same-day access right now. So if you call, you can actually, if there's a spot open, receive an intake that same day and get assessed for different types of services that you might need outside of just therapy.
So, Molly, what kind of... problems do you see overall? I mean, I'm sure they vary quite a bit, but what's some of the most frequent problems that you see youth having to deal with?
Yeah, great question. I think some of the most frequent things that we, see troubles with kids these days is maybe they're struggling in school, maybe they're struggling to, get along with others, make connections with peers. They might be struggling, with some anxiety, and that can present in a lot of different ways. Really just they need people like us to connect with them and support them. I think, like Erica said, schools are one of the main places we get a lot of referrals from because they'll notice kids are struggling. They might not know why they're struggling, but they know we're here and can connect with them.
How big of an issue is anxiety? It seems like we hear more and more about that here in the past, I know, handful of years anyway. Is this something you're seeing more of, and why is that, do you think?
I think yes and no. I feel anxiety has always been around. We just talk about it more and we make it more normalized for kids to share how they're feeling, even adults to share how they're feeling. I've presented in a class before when I talked with some sixth graders and I told them, you know, a little bit of anxiety is normal. It's a motivator at times. Like if you are nervous for a test, it might make you study a little bit more because you want to do well on it. But if you're at the level where you're like losing sleep, you're struggling to eat, or you're sleeping too much, eating too much, that's when it becomes a little bit more of a concern. There's something else deeper going on that you want to talk about.
I mean, when you're talking to, students and kids, how do you define anxiety? Maybe we have people out there that may not know that, this is an issue or what they're feeling is anxiety.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I don't know, Erica, how would you describe anxiety?
So I think really any time that you're experiencing a challenge is just noticing the impact it has on your daily life. So like Molly said, if you are maybe feeling a little nervous about something, like coming in and talking on the radio, for example, that nervousness can help propel you forward. However, if it is an issue that is creating trouble just in that daily life, those daily life activities, then it might be time to seek some help. So if you're noticing changes in your child, for example, it might be time to talk to somebody about that.
How hard is it with youth, though, just because of all of the hormones and emotions that go on in daily life? You hear the old curmudgeon people, we never worried about anxiety back in the day. We just rub some dirt on it and stuff like that. Well, mental health has changed dramatically in the last 10, 20 years. How hard is it to diagnose a youth compared to an adult?
I think you just take into account where they are at developmentally. So the brain itself is not fully developed until about age 25. So where are they
Yeah. I was going to say 65.
We're still working. We're still working on it.
We're a work in progress, right? So really where they are at developmentally definitely plays a part. But again, if it's impacting those daily living activities, that's where it might be time to seek some support. Just really dialing in to where your child is, listening, paying attention, being engaged.
So how is anxiety, Erica, treated? I mean, obviously it would vary depending on how severe the problem is, but I know anxiety can lead to not only mental issues, but health issues as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we really kind of look at anxiety as where is it coming from? So we try to identify maybe the cause of that, those feelings. Sometimes it can come from traumatic instances. We see a lot of that with the kids that we serve. Their mental health challenges coming up due to trauma that they've experienced in their lives. So really just
trying to get to the source, huh?
Yeah, get to the source. Identify what is causing it, and then what are those triggers to maybe come when it comes up a little bit more, and then introducing some coping strategies.
Well, I mean, you mentioned trauma. I mean, maybe we can kind of define that too. Trauma, what is that?
So trauma itself is an event or series of events or a set of circumstances that's experienced by an individual, whether it's physically or emotionally harmful or even life-threatening, and has lasting adverse effects.
Okay.
And you guys deal specifically with youth ages 0 to 22. We've talked about the change in mental health the last 10, 20 years. Are youth nowadays more accustomed and more open about mental health than, say, my generation or even your generation?
I would say so. Yeah. What do you think, Molly?
I agree. I feel the more we talk about it, like being on the radio talking about it, it normalizes it. we're educating, you know, schools, teachers, parents, community members to know the signs of what to look for, where to go to reach out for help. I mean, I think we might see, you know, some bigger things going on with kids, but that doesn't mean it wasn't always there. It just looked different.
Do you guys see, obviously, just talking with someone helps a ton, but do you see that the younger you find somebody, the less dependency there is maybe on drugs?
Absolutely.
As a curing drug, not mm-hmm. a dependency on drugs, but as an like maybe we don't have to take an anxiety drug to deal with our anxiety if we can catch it early enough and find the symptoms and the source of the causes.
Yes, definitely. I think that early intervention piece is really key. The earlier that we recognize that there might be a challenge, address it, and get some of those supports in place, learn some coping strategies, then yes, might see a decrease in not only substance use, but even psychopharmaceutical drugs. Yeah.
We're talking with Erica Firstman, Molly Kenny with Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness on our on-air chat. We mentioned the stigma aspect, and we seem to be, you know, as what you mentioned, making some headway, and we have, you know, through the past number of years. Would that deal, too, with parents, and because you deal with kids, and parents, obviously, you want them involved and are a big part of the process to help the youngsters. Do you still run across problems, though, with parents with this stigma saying, I don't want my kid getting involved with the mental health aspect of things. I don't need that. I mean, is that a barrier you still deal with?
Yes, absolutely. That is one of probably the greatest barriers that we experience is the youth experiencing a challenge and not having supportive caregivers in their life. And of course, we know families can look a number of different ways. So those caregivers being a part of the treatment team, if you will, is really important for them to support their youth that is struggling.
And you guys are heavily involved in the school districts here locally and in the counties that you serve. Has there ever been any discussions about making mental health, or have you seen it become part of the daily curriculum for kids so that they're, even when you're not there, the schools are still talking about it?
Yes.
I think so. There's social emotional learning. It's something we do in our program, the program that I run, but also in schools. They might do like an SEL time of the day where they have a lesson where they'll talk about a topic. Also like school counselors, school support specialists. I know they're running groups and they're doing things in schools as well. We do have our school-based, you know, on-site people in a few of our school districts we work with that are there for the day in and day out. Needs. But I do think there's, even when we're not there, there's conversation about mental health happening.
How important is it to get into the schools and get your information out there?
I would really say it's vital because that's where the youth are a majority of their day, majority of the year. And we are connected to all of the school districts in the 7-county catchment area that Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness serves. Or in specific schools, in fact, in USD 253 here in Emporia, we have 5 on-site school-based mental health staff that are there every day, all day, to not only support clients of Crosswinds, but they can support any student or staff in that school in their mental health needs. In fact, Molly and I have both held that role before.
Okay.
And like she was saying, we go into classrooms, talk about mental health, just educating the kids on what is mental health, how can you recognize it in yourself and your friends, and then what can you do to cope.
And those are normally you're going into a PE class or a health class of some sort?
It could be. When I spent time out at the middle school, I had scheduled times in the year when I would go present to some health classes on mental health. It also looked like, you know, what the cool thing about the school-based positions is you're not just working with Crosswinds clients. You're working with other students as well. It's a way to help them get that access to services, maybe like that barrier. Erica mentioned with, you know, caregivers might not being ready, we can be there in those moments as well.
You think you're making traction there? Were you pretty well received by the kids, do you think?
Yeah. I had a lot of fun when we would go in the classrooms and work with them.
Well, good.
Yeah.
And they're good people.
Yeah.
Which always helps. Let's take our first break. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Don't miss the Flint Hills Beef Fest this weekend at the Lyon County Fairgrounds. KVOE.
Finally.
Live and local.
KVOE, live and local, and time now for a look at headlines being brought to you by John Muckenthaler of RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Whether buying or selling a home or just curious about the local market, contact John today, 620-794-3134. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. A new addition to an Emporia apartment complex on the east side of town could have more benefits than simply growing the number of available rentals based on engineering designs. This was part of the Planning Commission meeting involving the Whittier Place Apartments at 1200 Whittier Place Lane. Detailed plans are still a few weeks away, but the Emporia Recreation Commission is pleased with the work of its Rec Center Steering Committee and also the initial public reaction to a possible new rec facility in Emporia. And after one of the two defendants in an Emporia human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation case was set for trial as part of a hearing late last week, the second defendant accepted a plea agreement this week and is now set for sentencing in October. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunshine today with a high of 85, light southeast breeze. Increase in clouds tonight, our overnight low of 62. So we'll have a partly sunny day tomorrow, 84, hot on Friday, 92, and really hot Saturday, Sunday with highs of 99 both days. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Currently, we do have a light southeast breeze, sunny skies, 74 degrees at KVOE live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by John Muckenthaler of RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Whether buying or selling a home or just curious about the local market, contact John today, 620-794-3134.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting, Erica Fersman and Molly Kinney from Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness are our guests. Our topic is youth and mental health. We've talked about what mental health is, who you guys serve, a little bit about the stigma, a little bit about addressing youth mental health. What are some approaches that we can take? We've already talked about having an open dialogue and how that's changed over the years, but what are some of the approaches we can take, and how can us as adults support youth in their mental health?
That's my favorite question. So really, as caregivers and even community members, we're all probably involved with children in some aspect, whether we're a parent or even you go to church and you see kids there. So how can we show up for the youth in our community? I actually am a trainer for youth mental health first aid, and we offer that at Crosswinds, not only to Crosswinds staff, but to any community member. And I wanted to take just a few points from that youth mental health first aid, which is where CPR is for a medical emergency, that youth mental health first aid is for mental health emergencies and challenges. So there is this acronym called ALGEE, A-L-G-E-E, and really it just gives some nice points of how adults can show up for kids. And really it starts with A, your approach. So are you in the headspace to talk through something with a kid? are you regulated? Are you feeling okay? Because if I come in hot, that youth might not want to talk to me, or if I'm yelling. So how am I showing up in that space? And then really what I think the most important thing that we can do for youth and for adults, for any human, is to listen. More important is listening non-judgmentally. So I, as a human, have my own beliefs and values and opinions, and all of that is okay. But can I set that aside and really just listen to that youth and where they are coming from? Suicide itself is the second leading cause of death in people ages 10 to 34. And really what we hear is when people are listened to, it can change that trajectory many, many times. So showing up and listening to people.
What's the G?
The G is giving reassurance and facts. So if I break my leg, right, there's a clear path. Molly's going to tell me, hey, you're going to be okay. We're going to go to the doctor. You'll probably get an x-ray and a cast. And then your leg is going to heal. Maybe some physical therapy, but you're going to be okay. That reassurance and that hope is often missing when it comes to people experiencing mental health challenges. So if we can say, okay, you're having a hard time right now, you're struggling with some anxiety, some stress, maybe something really bad happened to you, we can get you some help. We can go talk to somebody and get some skills to help support you. And things can and will probably get better.
Is one of the reassurance key points for you all that, hey, we've been through this before. Others have felt what you're feeling. We know that we can get them in to see a counselor and they can get better. And I promise you, just stick with me and things will get better.
Definitely. That you're not alone piece is huge, because oftentimes when we're experiencing a mental health challenge, it feels very isolating. So knowing you're not alone, others have experienced it, and there is hope, can really make all the difference.
What about the E's?
The E's are to encourage appropriate professional help. So if I break my leg, Molly's not going to be able to help me put that all back together. We have to go to a medical doctor. Same thing when experiencing a mental health challenge, getting them connected to that appropriate professional help. You can always show up and listen, but there might be some things that are outside of your scope. So going to your local community mental health center, reaching out and getting those services.
Are all of your youth-based service counselors trained in this?
Most of them, yes. Yep. Have a lot of different trainings and education that they go through to help serve the youth in our communities.
All right. So, Molly, how big of a problem, you know, school starting here, is bullying? Do you see a lot of issues related from that? That seems to be something that a lot of kids have to deal with.
Yeah, I think it's something we hear a lot from kids, that they might be experiencing bullying at school. Someone wasn't being kind to them. I think it is a big issue, but there's ways we can, you know, support the kids on the back end and educate on what bullying it is, what it looks like, who to go to for help. There's a graphic I've seen before of, you know, if someone's, you know, unkind to you once, it might not feel great. But when it's like a, you know, repetitive thing, yeah, and it's happening, that's when you might be experiencing bullying. Not to take away from that one unkind thing that someone said, but we all say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's important for them to be able to contact someone who they can trust and someone that can get results, you know, if there is a problem, to maybe get something done about it and not leave it alone.
Yes. Yeah. A big thing, kind of what Erica was saying about all the algae points, is just being the adult you needed. So I think, you know, we've all experienced something in our lives that when we were younger, maybe it was bullying, maybe stress, anxiety, we were really angry. And just being that adult that someone can go to, that they feel safe, they feel heard, and thinking about what you would have wanted when you were that age, if you did or you didn't get that.
Aaron's phone just buzzed. Let's talk technology.
Let's.
And Erica, how big of an issue is that? I mean, young or old, we're all kind of locked in.
We are connected.
To
yes.
our devices and social media. And this obviously can be an issue or issues, can it?
Definitely. So I think it's important to note that technology itself is neither good nor bad as a whole. There's positive things that come from the use of technology, and there's some negative things. Talking about different generations, where they grew up, whether they had technology. Now, it's everywhere. They use it in the schools. You know, everybody has a Chromebook. We're connected to our phones. So I think when it comes to supporting youth and that technology use is very similar to when somebody starts driving. So we don't just throw the keys at them and say, good luck on the road. We say, first, you know, you ride in the car. You experience what it's like to be in a vehicle. Then maybe you go through driver's ed, do some practicing before you get the keys and go. Adults can and caregivers can help their kids by taking that same approach when it comes to technology. So getting them set up with a device that maybe only calls or texts parents, maybe grandma or close family friend, and then kind of do that step up system where then you have access to a little more and a little more. I probably wouldn't want to give my 8-year-old my iPhone and say, have access to all the things.
Yeah, technology is I like the way you put it, neither good nor bad. And these are just rough numbers. We don't need exacts, but what percentage of the issues or the trauma is developed at home versus at school or inside of friend groups?
That's a great question. I don't necessarily have, say, numbers there. Really, when it comes to trauma occurring in a youth's life, it can happen in any setting. And there's different types of trauma. There's acute, there's chronic, ongoing trauma. That acute trauma might be a single incident, say an accident, a natural disaster, experiencing loss, where that chronic trauma is experienced, like ongoing violence in the home, caregiver experiencing some mental illness, exposure to poverty, that kind of thing.
Do you feel like more of the source is based off of someone's home life than their social life?
I think it really depends on the situation. Obviously, we're probably most connected to our home life growing up there, so we can experience a great deal of trauma in those kinds of relationships, sure.
And the reason I'm asking is because I feel like it's probably easier to recognize and treat if it's in their social life or at school for youth. It's probably really, really hard and a absolute case-by-case basis if the source of the mental health issue is at homes. Is that not true?
I would say there's some truth to that, yeah. Really just looking at the individual situation and, like we said, first identifying what the issue is, some triggers, and then finding out how to either change and alter the situation happening or implement some coping strategies so that they can at least manage themselves in those situations. And if your caregivers are involved, say through family therapy and being a part of that team, rallying around the kid, making changes as a whole, because if I'm 7, 10, even 15 years old, I can't change a whole family dynamic. So having everybody on board is important.
Do you see less and less resistance from someone's home life the more and more you guys are in schools year after year? Or is it just so case-by-case basis that you can't really measure that? Do you feel like the stigma's coming down a little bit from home life even?
I think so. I think we have a lot of supports in the schools. And you see the same people every day, and one day maybe you'll talk to them. Maybe you will approach them. Maybe we'll approach you if we know something's going on. I think there's definitely less of a stigma with it. People feel more comfortable coming forward and asking for help.
Yeah. Take our second break here.
Let's go a little bit longer since I'm going to leave you at the break. Is that a deal?
What's that?
Let's go a little bit longer since I'm going to leave you at the break. I can stay with you for a little bit longer. Let's get into the stigma portion. We've discussed it quite a bit, but what's the easiest way to address the stigma, and then what's some early intervention and education that you're doing for this?
Yeah, so kind of let Molly take off there a little bit.
I think addressing stigma starts with educating those parents, school staff, community members, anyone that's working with a youth or not working with a youth. I don't have kids, but I can take a step to learn and to be there to support. So really just focusing on educating, on identifying those signs of a mental health challenge, and then knowing the resources on how to get help. The more we know what to look for, the easier it is to identify and address the needs of the kids. With our school-based services and being in the schools like we've talked about, we are, supporting, we're helping address and have those conversations and educating. It also involving the community in it. So the more, other people in the community are supporting the needs, discussing them, educating, we can make a lot of difference. I know Erica's touched on the training she offers, and we offer within Crosswinds that she co-facilitates, but we have like a wealth of other trainings that we do for the community as well.
Yeah, so I think that is just knowledge and education really is what we're seeing to break down that stigma quite a bit. So through Crosswinds, we have, like I said, that mental health first aid class. We don't just have the youth version. We also have the adult version. So anybody in the community could go to our website, crosswindsks.org, and find a list of different trainings that we host. So we've got that mental health first aid. We also teach some parenting classes. I do some of those. We have parenting after divorce. So that class really talks about you as the parent. If you've gone through a divorce, how can we help support not just us as the adults, as the parents, but our kids, our whole family through that process. We also have a class called Parenting the Love and Logic Way, which really just focuses on what can parents do to show up for their kids, to help model healthy, positive relationships, effective coping skills, just the day-to-day things that happen in a family.
So there are multitude of family training options then?
Yes.
Family therapy options?
Yes. At Crosswinds, we have obviously those trainings and classes, but families can have individual and family therapy. And then kind of our wheelhouse where Molly and I are working in that children's services department is case management, which is a one-on-one service where we work with the youth, but we have a lot of connection to parents, caregivers, school staff, primary care physician, anyone who is in that child's life, supporting them. Another one-on-one service is attendant care, which really works, again, on skills mostly out in the community. And then Molly's psychosocial groups that run give kids the opportunity to practice together those social skills, those coping skills.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Molly?
Yeah. Great question. We have our gateway program. It's called psychosocial group. You might more commonly hear it referred to in the community as gateway. We are a service that kids can be referred to if they're a Crosswinds client. We have a couple different programs. We bring them to our facility where we'll maybe do like snack time with them when we bring them from after school. And then we do like a social emotional lesson with them. We've got wellness time where our wellness coordinator, Audrey, will come and do exercises with the kids, and they really enjoy that. We have art therapy interns that will come in and do an art therapy activity with them. Really, it's just a fun time for them to connect and get the opportunity to practice the skills in a safe place with kids that are also struggling with the same things that they might be struggling with.
Awesome.
That's great. And that's available at, as a community project or in schools themselves or both?
It's so through Crosswinds, they can, if a kid is in services, they could be referred to it if they if it was something that they needed. It's really on an individual basis if group is something that they need or not. We do work with the schools in some ways. With our daytime program, we work with the kids that are on abbreviated school days. And so if there's a school, you know, that has a kid that maybe isn't able to maintain a full day in the classroom and they're looking at abbreviating the day and they're a Crosswinds client, we could work with them during the school day. But in our facility, like, we would go to their school and pick them up and bring them to us, and then we would work with them.
Do you find pretty good success with that, since they're, I mean, you're taking out one of the big factors right away, that they're not alone.
Yes.
They're working in a group. Hey, there's others that are like me or have the same feelings that I'm feeling. Do you find pretty good success in that program?
Yes, I think we do. It's a lot of fun. I started working in the groups, and now I'm, you know, managing the program, and it's just been fun to watch the kids grow and develop over time and see those connections that they make. And they really become close with the staff too, and the staff love them too, as well.
Well, let's take our second break. We're talking about youth and mental health right here on the On Air Chat. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Join KVOE for In the Garden.
Watching the flowers and being able to garden.
Thursdays at 11.05 a.m. with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
Fresh vegetables from the garden.
KVOE, 1400 a.m. and 96.9 FM. Live.
If it grows.
Seeing all that emerge, start over again.
It's In the Garden and local.
KVOE, live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines. Being brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 620-342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you. Go where you want. Also brought to you by Jan Utech with Remax Eck Real Estate. For buying or selling a home or property, contact Jan at 620-343-5100. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need, here is Blake Cripps.
Well, the Royals could not keep their hot streak going last night, losing 9-5 to the Angels at Kauffman Stadium. L.A. torched the bullpen in the middle of the game, 5 runs in the 5th and 6th. They knocked out starter Cole Reagans in the 6th. He took the loss. Royals did have 12 hits, but they could not string them together enough to keep pace with L.A. Same two teams tonight at Kauffman Stadium. First pitch at 7:10 right here on KVOE. The Royals reported that right-handed pitcher Hunter Harvey is dealing with mid-back tightness. He's working back from the 15-day disabled list, was progressing until the setback on Monday. He'll be off for a few days following a cortisone injection. The Royals say Harvey will attempt to throw again later this week. Elsewhere in baseball yesterday, Cleveland used a big inning to win in 12 over the Yankees 9-5. Baltimore had the same score and a win over the Mets 9-5. Padres beat the Twins 7-5. Boston earned a 6-5 win over Houston. And L.A. beat Seattle 6-3. So not a bad day for the Royals in terms of the wild card standings. Elsewhere around baseball, it was the Giants with a 4-1 win over the White Sox. The Rays dumped the Athletics 1-0. Diamondbacks with a 3-1 win over the Marlins. The Rockies beat the Nationals 3-1. George Springer had 2 home runs for the Blue Jays. They beat the Reds 10-3. Reynaldo Lopez had 10 strikeouts as the Phillies got stifled by the Braves 3-1. Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2, Cubs over the Tigers 3-1. Dansby Swanson hit a home run that put the Cubs in front in the sixth. And the Pirates blanked the Rangers 4-0.
Thank you, Blake. Sports headlines brought to you today by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive at 708 Lantern Lane. For more information, visit thurstonsplusautobody.com or you can find them on Facebook. Also brought to you by JNU Tech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. In this tight housing market, when you find a home you like, don't delay. Call Jan at 620-343-5100.
And welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas hosting, Aaron Harder off to do some City Commission duties here as it is City Commission meeting day here in Emporia. We are joined this morning by Erica Firstman, Community-Based Services Director, and Molly Kenny, who is a psychosocial group manager with Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness. Our On Air Chat topic today is youth and mental health, and we have covered a lot of ground here. And Erica, we want to talk a little bit about, some of the positives and how Crosswinds can help deal with youth and resiliency.
Yeah, absolutely. So I talked a little bit about trauma and what experiences might lead to trauma, and getting that support to counteract those traumatic experiences. So Molly would like to talk about how we go about adding in some protective factors and what can happen to build resiliency.
Yeah, good question there.
Yeah, so resiliency, really just, I've mentioned it a lot, being that like one adult that you needed and creating positive childhood experiences for kids. One way that I really enjoy and the staff that I work with really enjoy creating those experiences for kids is we take them out in the community. You might see our groups out in the community, especially over summer during our summer program. We go to the park, we go to the zoo. One of the highlights this summer was our older group went to the municipal golf course, and some of the kids, they had never, touched a golf ball before, touched a golf club, even been near a golf course. And so they got to go out there and they hit balls on the range.
Oh, wow.
And they just really had a lot of fun. It was a highlight of summer for them. We also go to the movie theater to practice, how do we watch a movie? What does it look like to go to a movie theater? And go through the process of, getting the ticket. We're going to sit down all together as a group. We try to do a lot of fun stuff for positive experiences.
Yeah, I would assume that can be pretty impactful for some of these kids, huh?
Yep. Trip days are always, our community outing days are the best days of summer. All the days are good days, but those are really the highlights of each week.
So let me ask you this. I kind of want to present this question to both of you. How easy is it or is it easy to track success, with the impact that you're making towards kids? How do you gauge that?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the role that you play with the kids. For us in our groups, we are with the kids every day, and so it might be, harder to see the progress and see the positive things happening because we're in it every day. But really, if we take a step back and look at, what happened 3 weeks ago, what happened, even 6 months ago, a lot of progress can be made. Erica's kind of wheelhouse with case management. They might not see them every day, but they can see the progress as well with therapy. It really just depends on the kid.
How about you, Erica? How do you gauge success?
Yeah, well, success looks different for everybody, right? So really looking at what that youth feels like success is. So do they feel like they are getting better at implementing those coping strategies to combat maybe the stress or social issues that they're having, kind of working toward those treatment goals and really, really leaning into where does that youth and their family feel like the progress is showing up.
Well, it sounds like you're passionate about what you do.
Definitely. I've been at Crosswinds for a little over 12 years and really held almost all of the roles in our children's services department and want to continue helping those youth in our community.
Molly, how important is this work to you?
Really important. I've been with Crosswinds for 5 years now. I started, like I mentioned earlier, as group staff, actually, and then I moved to case management, and now I'm helping manage the program. And it's just, I always put myself back in the shoes of how I felt when I was a kid, and wanting to make a positive impact on the youth of today just by being there.
Well, it's important work that you do.
Yeah.
So thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
I have to ask you this, too. How's that new facility, the Capital Campaign that Crosswinds has? And you're in a new facility. How is it, Erica?
We are in a new facility, and it is incredible. Not only is it beautiful, but it's so convenient that all of our children's services here in Lyon County, at least, are in one space. So we can all support each other and the kids that we work with.
Molly, how much of an improvement has it been to be in this new space?
It's been awesome. We feel like really connected. We were at a different building for quite a while, and now we're in this space. And, you know, our therapeutic preschool is right next door, so we get to connect with those kids and those staff. The case managers, having them like on site at times to be there, and just seeing everyone else, you know, on a more regular basis. It's awesome.
Well, great job here this morning. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Nothing to be nervous about, right?
Nope.
Nope.
It was great.
That's right. Well, thanks for taking some time to come join us, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Great work that you do. And Erica Firstman, Community-Based Services Director, and Molly Kinney, Psychosocial Group Manager with Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, with us on the on-air chat today, brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction 342-5001. It is 10:52. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
Summer sounds like this.
I love you, girl, but I'm out of time. Rock with you all night.
KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.